drive you crazy, won't it? I prayed against arthritis this morning. So. Welcome to LifeGate. So glad you're here. Always glad to see everyone, and especially if you're a new person, this is your first time with us, or one of your first times, we're just thrilled, honored that you've decided to spend your day with us, your Sunday morning. Hope you're getting ministered to. Hope you've already been ministered to. Hope I don't do anything that'll mess that up, and that God will continue to touch you and love on you. I believe God wants to do something great and wonderful in your life. And if you're not in a hurry at the end of the time in our service today, we'd love for you just to come meet me. Just come introduce yourself to me and me to you, and I'd just love to shake your hand and get to know you. But thank you again for coming. The clip I showed you from the scene of a first night, Lancelot Richard Gere read the inscription on the round table, and that inscription said, "In serving each other, we become free." And of course, in the same scene, it also said, King Arthur, Sean Connery says, "A man who fears nothing is a man who loves nothing. And if you love nothing, then what joy is there in life?" My point is... My point is that we don't serve anything out of fear. We serve what we serve out of love. I can tell what you love by what you serve. And so can the Lord. And so I'm going to entwine those two thoughts, hopefully, successfully, in what I want to share with you today. We're doing a series, and it's called Possessing the Kingdom. It's taken from the book of Joshua. And today we'll be looking at chapters 10 and 11. And my title today is Hamstring the Horses. That'll make more sense to you as we develop what I feel that the Spirit of the Lord will want to say to us today. So if you have your Bibles, and I always hope you do, please bring your Bible to church. Turn, if you will, to Joshua chapter 10. We'll be looking at 10 and 11, several verses in there. Another great place that I want you to turn is in Joel chapter 2. After the word of the Lord came this morning, in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, is going to be a really good one that I want you to be with me in. And also, if you'd really like to run around some of the Bible with me, you can look at Luke chapter 17. Be there shortly. And while you're turning, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you, Lord, and that without really loving something, there's really no joy in life. And that what we really do love, we serve. And so, Lord, I ask you today that as I begin to share these truths, that they'll click with each one of us. Father, I pray that I will be an anointed today. Lord, I won't talk too fast or too slow. That what I will share will be meaningful and applicable to our lives. That it won't just be a lesson and a talk. It'll be something we can go out of here with in our hearts and allow you to use as seed that produces fruit in our life 160 and 30-fold. Ask you to be with us. Ask you to bless us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus says there is a kingdom, and I hope we are learning this. I'm hoping that it's finally clicking to some of us that there really is a kingdom right now that we are to be forcing our way into. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, it says this, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John." Now, that's the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, or the Old Kingdom, if you would. "Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his or her way into it." That's the New Testament, or the New Covenant, or the kingdom that Jesus came to bring us. So we're forcing our way into it now. We're not waiting on any kind of supernatural event. This right now, we can be coming into the kingdom and experiencing the abundant life that God has for us, that Jesus came to provide and to give to us. Now, but have you ever had a time when you felt that you were really trying to force your way in to the kingdom of God? You were attempting to serve the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you made commitments, covenantal commitments, that you really want to fulfill for Him and do something for Him in the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose on your life. You ever had something like that to happen? Maybe, you know, you made your decision, "I am going to church Sunday," but then you get sick. Maybe you've made a commitment. I'm going to get my finances in order. I'm going to line them up with the Bible. And the next thing you know the refrigerator breaks down or the car tears up. And all of a sudden, there goes the money that you had planned to do something else with. Or maybe you've made a commitment in your life to get your children and your home in order. And all of a sudden, all this dissension in the family happens between the children and the parents. And all this stuff starts going on. And you feel like you're being attacked from every side. Ever had something like that to happen when you're really trying to serve the Lord? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. Well, sure. Sure. It happens to all of us. It happens to every single one of us. We make a commitment that we're really going to serve the Lord. We're really going to go for it this time. We're really going to serve the Lord with all of our heart. And then all of a sudden, all of this hell comes loose on our lives. Well, that's exactly what the lesson's about. And this is exactly what happened to the Gibeonites. This is exactly what they went through. They had made a covenant commitment to Joshua to serve the people and to serve in the tabernacle and to minister at the altars and to reach that community. And the next thing you know, five kings come upon them. I want to read you the verse in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 5. And it says this, and the five kings of the Amorites joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. See, all of a sudden, these people that had just made this covenant in the previous chapter to serve the people, to serve God, to work at the altars, and to reach that community and minister to that community, all of a sudden, they're all of a sudden attacked by five problems. They suddenly have five problems coming against them at one time. Now, what I want to do is put this into a perspective for you and me as we possess the kingdom of God in our lives. Now, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is approached. He's been preaching the kingdom of God, and he's approached by these Pharisees, and they come and they want to know about this kingdom that he's preaching. And the King James Bible says they demanded of him, when is this kingdom coming? Jesus says, you just don't understand the kingdom. You don't understand the message. And most of us don't, because we're still waiting for an external kingdom to come. And he says, that's not how it works, you see. It doesn't come with observation. It doesn't come out there, because the kingdom of God is within you. Here's what he says in Luke 17, verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See, when you make a decision to serve Jesus, when you make a decision that you're going to get your life right, you're going to do it right this time, you can count on all hell coming against you. They wanted Gibeon back. Gibeon had allowed the kingdom of God to come too close to these other kingdoms. See, what's happened in our life is we've allowed God to redeem something in our life, and it's gotten too close to those things that God doesn't want redeemed, that God wants to destroy. And so what happens in our life is all of a sudden every stronghold in us and outwardly begins to come against us, to stop us, to get us back into the kingdom of darkness. It's a principle in the Word of God. It's happened to every single one of us. Every single one of us has experienced this. So what I want to do today is look at this. I want to draw from this. I want to grab a hold of it. I've been pastoring this church for a long, long time. It was already told how many years it's been. But I've experienced this myself, but I've also observed it in person after person after person. As they make a dedication to the Lord, as they come to the Lord with a full commitment of their life, all of a sudden I see all kinds of things coming against them. For example, a spouse will make a dedication. I am coming to the Lord. I'm going to move in this ministry. I am going to get involved with this particular ministry in church. And next thing you know, I observe the other spouse having a hard time with this. The other spouse begins wondering, why are you at the church all the time? Why are you doing this? Why, you know, and so they have this conflict. Now, is the spouse of the devil? No. But it's what the enemy is going to use, you see. Another one, you know, people make their dedication. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to begin tithing next week. I am going to start doing my tithing and my offering just as I should. You know what might happen when you make that dedication? You might lose your job. Because that's the way it works. I am going to church on Sunday. I am going to church on Sunday. I'm going to be faithful to the house of the Lord every Sunday night. I'm going to church. The next thing you know, you have to start working every Sunday. Your job starts picking up, and the next thing you know is you've got to start working on Sundays. I'm going to raise my children the way they should go. Next thing you know, all this turmoil starts happening in your house. And this is the way it works. And we need to be smart enough to expect it. But not only to expect it, but know how to battle against it. And that's what the lesson's going to be about. I want to show you the principle in the Word of God of how you can stand when the five kings of the Amorites come against you. But I not just want to stop there. I want to talk about a lot of principles of warfare. As I looked at the book of Joshua, I saw that in every major contest, in every major battle that Joshua went through, there was always a different strategy. Five major strategies the Lord gave Joshua, and Joshua used in his as he went about the battle. He took these five principles, and every time that there was a major battle, God would either give Joshua a new strategy, or Joshua would pull out a new strategy. Now, for example, let me go real quickly. For with Jericho, what was the strategy there? March around this thing 13 times, shout at it, yell at it, blow trumpets at it, and it'll fall down flat. Did it work? It was a strategy. But Ai, that's not what they did. With Ai, what did they do? Set up a three-way ambush, right? Had to have a three-way ambush. We're going to now look at the one that I'm referring to right now, the attacks of the five kings of the Amorites. What was the strategy there? Well, it was a different one. I'm going to show you what that one is. And then there's going to be the southern region conquered by Joshua, a total different strategy. And then there's going to be the northern region conquered by Joshua, still a total different strategy. There are five different strategies. And what I want us to see is that in our lives, as the enemy comes against us, if we will employ the weapons of warfare that God truly shows us and gives us and implement these strategies, we're going to have a successful life. We're going to have a life that we're proud of. We're going to have a life that brings us satisfaction. We're going to have a great life. But you've got to know how to stand against the enemy. And that's what today's lesson is going to be about. So let's talk first about the one that I'm speaking of here. When the five kings of the Amorites came against the Gibeonites who had made a covenant. They had made a covenant with Joshua and with the people of God. They were going to serve at the altars. They were going to reach that community. They were going to be used of God. And so they made a covenant with Joshua. The next thing you know, here comes the enemy to attack them. In Joshua chapter 10 and verse 6 says this. Here's the first thing that they did. The Gibeonites sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." The first things that the Gibeonites did was to call reinforcements from covenant people. Now, when I'm talking about covenant people, I'm not talking about every Christian you know. I'm not only even talking about Jesus. I'm talking about people that God has strategically put in your life to help you through battles. Strategically put into your life where you can defeat the Amorites. You see, sometimes we go to battles and we can tell anyone about them. There are things that happen in our life that we have no problem relaying and talking to people about. Okay, I've got a head cold. I can put that on the speaker, you know. I want you to pray for me. I have a head cold. But say someone is struggling, say, with cocaine. Some sort of drug addiction. See, you don't want everybody knowing about that. And specifically, the person doesn't want everyone knowing about that. They're going through a battle. But if you will look around, that person has somebody, hopefully, that God has strategically put into their life that they can call on a moment's notice and say, "Hey, I am struggling. Can you come help me?" And if that person is a covenant person, what that person will do is stop their world. Stop the sun, stop the moon, and go running to that person because they're in covenant. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a covenant relationship. So I want to ask you, who with whom are you in covenant with? With whom do you feel comfortable enough that you can tell anything and everything? Tell them your weaknesses and your struggles and the bad times as well as the good times that you experience. Because this is crucial in your making it or not making it. This is crucial in the five kings of the Amorites taking you back into the kingdom of darkness or you're being successful in going on. A lot of times when we're going through tough things and we don't want someone to know about it, we all hole up. We don't want anybody to know. We let pride kick in, you know? And we don't want anybody to know that we're going through a bad time. You can't do that. You got to have someone in your life that you'll call quickly. Don't wait until the enemy has you surrounded. Don't wait until you've gotten so weak that you've given into it. Don't wait till it's overpowered you and taken you back into the kingdom of darkness. You got to have somebody in your life that you can call immediately. And they'll drop everything and come running to you. And if you don't have this, then find someone. Ask God to give you someone. And probably you don't have that in your life because you've never given it to anyone. See, the Bible says if you're going to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. There should be someone in our life that we can call on immediately. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 7 says this. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. Joshua came quick, and Joshua came to war. Verse 9 says, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Everybody say surprise. Wow. Surprise. I have a very close friend, lives several hours from here. And he and his family were under an attack. Five kings of the Amorites had come against him. He was getting hit on every side. And he calls us. And within 30 minutes, we have packed our bags, loaded the car, and we're on the interstate heading for his family. And we got the victory. You see, there is a strength and covenant that comes from no other place, and it absolutely surprises the enemy. The enemy is not prepared to fight against you and your covenant people. It brings a surprise to him. I read an article this week from the Reader's Digest that talked about the giant sequoias of California, you know, those huge trees. Those things are 3,000 years old. They're 250 feet tall plus. You know, a pine tree around here is about 100 feet. 250 feet plus. They're huge trees. And amazingly, you would think that a tree that huge and that tall would have such a deep root system. But amazingly, they have a very, very shallow root system that's just beneath the earth. And you would think that the winds would be able to blow them over easily because of such a shallow root system. But they are very unique. You see, they only grow in groves. And their roots entwine with other roots of their neighboring trees. And their limbs entwine and link with the other trees that they're growing next to. And so when the wind blows one, he's pulling strength from the other. And when the wind blows another one, he's pulling strength from another. And for 3,000 years, this tree has stood every wind and every storm that came against them. Why? Because they were so deep? No, because they were linked together. And if you and I are going to stand, if we're going to withstand the onslaughts of the enemy in our lives, we have got to link together with people. You have got to have someone in your life because this will happen to you. It will happen the very moment you make your mind up that you're going to serve Jesus for the rest of your life. I am really going to step out this time. I'm really going to step into my ministry. I'm really going to do what God's called me to do. If you're not linked up and rooted up together, you will experience some defeats in your life. On the other hand, if you'll link up, 3,000 years worth of winds won't blow you over. You'll be able to stand. You'll be able to withstand every battle. Think of all the wind storms that have come against those trees in 3,000 years. See, Jesus talks about when the storms of life come. You know, we've got to be linked together. We've got to be rooted together if we're going to stand. This is so crucial. So with whom do you link? Do you branch with? Do you root with? This is so crucial. If you're going to have a successful marriage, you must. Because there's going to be times when the five kings of the Amorites are coming against your marriage. If you're going to be successfully financially, you have got to link with some people that are. If you're going to be successful in life with your family or your children, then you've got to be linked together and rooted together with some other people that are going in the right direction. You've got to hook up. Because the five kings of the Amorites are going to come and they want to take you back. They want to capture you back and take you back into the kingdom of darkness. This is crucial. If you are going to be a successful Christian, If you're going to make it in the kingdom of heaven and have a good life that you're satisfied with and a great life that you are proud of, you'll have to link up with people, covenantal people that you know love you and take you in the right direction. I want to kick this up one notch before I leave this point. Parents, with whom do your children covenant? Have you been able to teach your children the importance of who they run with? Do they understand that if they covenant with the wrong people, they're going down? But if they covenant with the right people, they'll withstand every attack of the five kings of the Amorites. They'll withstand every wind and every gale and every force that comes against them. Do they understand that? Now, think. I know your kids are special. I know your kids would never do that and hook up with the wrong folks. But how about you? Think back about your life. Did you ever have some negative things going on in your life because of the people you run with? I was kind of unique. I've always been kind of the leader. And so when we got in trouble, it was always my idea. But if these poor guys, if they hadn't hooked with me, they wouldn't have gotten in trouble. But you know another thing? If I hadn't had them with me, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done a lot of the things I did by myself. On the other hand, when I was with good people going in the right direction, going up, I went up. Your child is no different than you. Don't think that your child is oblivious to this. This will happen to your child. If they are linked incorrectly and linked with the wrong person, it will have a negative effect on their life. But if they hook up and branch up and root up with the right people, they will stand firm and they will withstand any attack of the Amorites. It was interesting to me that one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible is connected with this principle of covenant with people. The battle of the five kings was ferocious, a ferocious battle. And Joshua was winning. And the enemy was on the run. They were retreating. But light was going out. The sun was going to go down. And the enemy would escape under the cover of darkness. So Joshua did something that no one else has ever done. And it's linked right with here with these Gibeonites and this covenant thing. That one of the greatest Bibles, if not the greatest miracle in the Bible, is given to us right here. I want to read this to you in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. And it says here, "On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, 'O sun, stand still over Gibeon.'" Over what? Over Gibeon. Over my covenant people. Over Gibeon. "O moon, over the valley of Ahijah." I said this right today. Hajalon. Verse 13. "So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Jashar, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." See, I want you to know God will show off for you when you link up with covenant people. God will do some of the most miraculous things when you're linked covenantally with people. Time stopped. I mean, you got to think about what took place here. You know, it's written like the sun stood still, but really what happened? The universe stood still. God will change the universe for you when you're in proper covenant relationships. God will stop everything. That He will really, really show off for you. You know, I meet so many people that talk to me about wasted years. You know, they've made bad decisions and lost battles, and they feel like they've lost years of their life. I want to tell you, God will restore that. But you've got to hook up with covenant people. You got to start making good decisions, and that usually will only happen when you're really linked up with people that are making good decisions. Hello. And so we link together, we branch together, we root together. And all of a sudden, we start making good decisions, and God starts redeeming those years and giving those things back to us that the enemy has taken. Now, I want to read you this verse. It's in Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. And it says, God says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. Now look at this. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. How many want to be satisfied with your life? Say, I want to be satisfied. She was talking earlier, you know, about that she wants to have a satisfied. And the reason that we can hang on and do something is because we have a satisfied heart. If you want a satisfied life, then here is the secret. God will give it back to you. But it's going to be directly related to the people that you hook with. You will be satisfied. You will have plenty. Be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. So many people are ashamed of their lives. So many people look at their lives and they feel like they've wasted their life. They look back at things and decisions they've made. But God says, I can give you a life that you'll be proud of. I want to stop the sun for you. I want to stop the moon for you. I want to give you victory. I want you to have a victorious life. God will stop time and restore years for you. And it's going to be directly related to your covenantal relationships. He will do the greatest miracles in your life when you're connected with the right people. When you hook up and branch up with people. And I want to encourage you today. I know that some of you are really going through some stuff. I know that the five kings of the Amorites are coming at you full force. I know they're about to take you. But if you will lock up properly, you will cut loose from some negative relationships and root up and link up with some good relationships, God will turn your world around. He will stop the universe for you, and He will restore to you again the years that the palmer worm, the cankerworm, the locust, and all these things have taken. Amen. He'll give you a satisfied life. He'll give you a life you can be proud of. You see, you need to serve. Don't just be the kind of a person that's always calling for people to come help you. Be the kind of a person that's always helping others as well. Help others when they need your help, because you see, it's in serving others that we become free. Is that right? My helping you gives me victory in my life. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 40 says this, so Joshua subdued the whole region. Now this is after the sun stood still and they got this victory. Joshua subdued the whole region. The whole region. I want to see that happen. Joshua subdued the whole region, including the hill country, the Negev, the western foothills and the mountain slopes, together with all their kings. He left no survivors. He totally destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. It was amazing to me as I saw this that it was immediately after Joshua came to the aid of the Gibeonites, the covenant people, that all of this wonderful stuff started happening. The sun and the moon stood still. And all of a sudden, he had victory after victory after victory after victory. Chapters 10 and 11 of the book of Joshua is nothing but absolute victory after victory after victory after victory. And it all sprung from that covenantal relationship. Joshua experienced victory in the southern region of the promised land, but the strategy here wasn't the same strategy that took Jericho, and it wasn't the same strategy that took Ai, or neither was it even the same strategy that took the five kings. Joshua now goes, just going on from this battle, and he just goes on and wipes out the whole southern region. He just starts attacking thing after thing and has victory after victory. And what I want us to make sure we see is, if you want victory after victory after victory in your life, you got to follow the strategies that God gives us. And one of those strategies is making sure that we have proper covenantal relationships. So he goes now into the southern area, and he has this new strategy. And in this strategy, the strategy that the Lord did in this one was stop the sun and the moon. See, the first strategy was Jericho. Shout at it. Blow trumpets at it. I'm going to give you we already know what the meaning was. It was a prophetic word. Then the second strategy was Ai, was the three-way ambush. The third strategy was covenantal relationships. Now here's the fourth strategy. Stop the sun and the moon. have you ever had a battle going on in your life that seems like would never end? You know, the sun would just not set on this thing. I've heard people say, my goodness, when's this going to end? Ever had one of those? When is this ever going to end? Can I tell you what God has done for you is stop the sun and the moon? Say, thank you, Jesus. Let me give you the principle. You see, they were winning the battle. The enemy was on the retreat. But God just didn't want to settle for a retreat. He wanted them totally annihilated. You're going through that thing and you keep going through that thing until you totally defeat it. God wants you not to make a treaty with that thing. He wants you to destroy that thing. He doesn't want it just to run away and get away from you. He wants you to take it out. And the sun will stop and the moon will stop until you do. In other words, you're going to fight it until you whip it. If you're going to possess your kingdom and you use the strategies of God, understand. See, we think that's a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. God will allow you to fight that fight until you win. And then when you win, you're going to get the plunder. When you win, you're going to get all the good from it. So that was the next strategy that was used. Joshua had the sun and the moon stand still so that he could totally annihilate these enemies. That happens in our lives. It's interesting to me that after this battle, after the battle with Jericho, he went back to Gilgal. After the battle at Ai, he went back to Gilgal. And now after this battle, he goes back to Gilgal again. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 43. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. Do you remember what Gilgal was? Gilgal was the place they went to right after they crossed the Jordan, went through the Jordan. It was the place where they established memorial stones. It was the place where they were circumcised again the second time. It was the place where they healed, and it was the place where they had communion. You know, I want to tell you, I don't care how strong you think you are in the Lord. I don't care how mighty of a man or a woman of war, big Christian you think you are. If you don't return to Gilgal after you go through a struggle, the enemy will snipe you out. We've got to go back to a place from time to time, especially after battles, where we testify and we remember, we memorialize the victories that God gave us. You got to talk about those victories. You got to share those things with people. Look what God did in my life. It encourages others and it'll encourage you. It'll build your faith. Another thing you got to do is you got to be circumcised again the second time and the third time and the fourth time. You see, when we go through battles of life, our hearts get hard. We'll get bitter. We'll get mean. And we've got to come again to Gilgal and say, Lord, circumcise again my heart the fifth time, 50th, 70th. We've got to keep coming back and say, here's my heart, Lord. I'm a little angry about this. I'm a little bitter about this situation, this hurt. Will you fix it for me? Will you circumcise again my heart? If you don't, you're going to be sniped off. After we've had our battles and we got to come back for healing, we got to come back and get healed from the circumcision and healed from the scars and the times of war. God wants to heal us, but He also wants to have communion with us. So we come back to Gilgal again, we need the sweet communion with the Lord. If we don't have that, we're going to lose the battle. We're going to go weary and we're going to get picked off. Have you ever seen someone go through a time in life where man, you know, it was a big struggle and they finally got the victory? It might have been a long battle, you know. The sun wouldn't set on the thing, and finally they got the victory, and they're victorious, and they're shouting for joy, and man, they've got the victory, and all of a sudden they're gone. What happened is they got sniped. Snipers picked them off. You know why? They didn't go back to Gilgal. See, I've seen people go through such tremendous victories in Jesus Christ, and then I look around a couple of weeks later and they're gone. They're gone. They're just gone. What happened? They didn't come back to Gilgal. They didn't come back and rehearse what God had done in their hearts. They didn't come back and allow God to deal with their hearts and the things that had happened during that battle and circumcise it again. They didn't come back and allow the Lord to heal them. They didn't come back and have communion with Him again. See, these are special times that we've got to have, especially after battle. After you go through a battle and a tough time, you got to come back to Gilgal. If you don't, you'll get sniped off. If you don't, the enemy will pick you off. Come back to Gilgal. Well, the northern region was still there. Okay, he has taken Jericho, he's taken Ai, he's taken the five kings, now he's taken the southern region. There's only one more region to take, and it's called the northern region. It still remained. So there's still more to do. Let me read you the scripture in Joshua chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, they came out with all their troops and a large number of horses and chariots. A huge army, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. Isn't that encouraging? All these kings joined forces and made camp together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Have you ever been in a place in your life and you say, will it ever end? You know, I whipped this one and I whipped that one, but now here's another. Will it ever end? Will the enemy ever surrender? Answer that for me. Will the enemy ever surrender? No. You have got to destroy the enemy. The enemy will never quit. You have got to annihilate the enemy. And until we do, we're going to keep fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. All the forces of hell came against Joshua and the people of God. Joshua chapter 11 and verse 6 says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them, because by this time tomorrow I will hand all of them over to Israel slain. Let me stop there just a second. The Lord said don't be afraid, but rather attack. A lot of times we get so afraid that we stop fighting. Don't be afraid. Rather, this time tomorrow I'm going to give them all over to your hand, slain. You are to hamstring their horses. Here's another strategy. You are to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots. Have you ever felt like every demon in hell was coming against you? I mean, just wave after wave just didn't seem like it was ever going to stop. Well, I have. You ever feel like that the enemy was coming against you and your family and your church and just anything that you cared about? It was just being attacked. Well, this is this kind of a situation. And the Lord says, don't fear. Attack. Never stop attacking. Always go on. Rest at Gilgal, but then get back up and go back out and take some more ground. Never be satisfied until you've totally got all the victory. So here we see a different strategy for this battle. This battle was a different strategy from the other battles that Joshua had had. In this one, he was to hamstring the horses and to burn the chariots. Now let me explain it to you, and then I'll give you the analogy of it, the type of it. As this army came, they came on horses and chariots. As this army came, it came different. The power and the way of war for this army was horses and chariots. And Israel didn't have horses and chariots. They needed level fighting ground. So what God said to them, said, I want you to hamstring the horses and burn their chariots. Now, what they would do is the horses came by on the chariots. They would take a sword or a knife and they would whack the horse in the back of the hamstring, cutting the tendon, hamstringing it. Hamstringing the horses. Okay. And then they would take maybe crude oil and slosh crude oil upon the chariots and those that are in it and ignite that, setting it on fire. Now, you don't have to worry about that anymore, right? They have lost their mobility, and those that were in the chariots, along with the chariot, are out of commission. I love it when it does this kind of stuff. Hello. So that's what they would do, is they would hamstring the horses and they would burn the chariots. Now, let me bring this into a typology for you and I. What happens in our life when the enemy attacks sometimes, especially in these major frontals by the enemy, is that the enemy has a way in our life of mobility. He's coming at us and he's using something in our life to give him power and mobility. In other words, we can't give any place to the devil. There are things in all of our lives that if the enemy can use, have power against us. There are things in our life that if we don't hamstring them, there are things in our life if we don't burn them, that they will have power over us and they can about get us to do anything they want us to do. But if we'll hamstring the horse and we'll burn that chariot, we don't have to worry about that anymore, right? That's the principle that, That's the principle that I want us to see is that we have to hamstring the horse. I'm going to find a place this will work. We got to hamstring the horse and burn the chariot. So that's the principle that I want us to see there. Psalms 147:10 says this: His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him and put their hope in his unfailing love. See, when we have an unfailing love for Jesus, we get the strategy for victory, no matter what battle we are in. A man who fears nothing is a man who loves nothing. And if you love nothing, then what joy is in your life? But if you fear the Lord, and you love the Lord, and you serve the Lord, He will give you the strategy that you need to have total victory in your life in every area, and in every battle, and in everything you face. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Joshua chapter 11 and verse 14 says, the Israelites carried all for themselves all the plunder. How many could use some plunder? Is that right? Want some plunder? There's always plunder when you win the battle. Whenever you're going through a battle, if you'll see the end of the battle and the victory in the battle, there will be plunder for your life. They carried off all the plunder and the livestock of these cities, but all the people they put to the sword until they had completely destroyed them. So Joshua took the entire land just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. See, there is no rest until there's victory. There are five strategies to taking your promised land. Which one will you use? Can I tell you? All of them. Use all of them. You cannot lose if you use all of them. I don't care what you're going through. So have I applied this one? Have I got this one down? Have I done this one? Have I done this one? And if you will go through the list, making sure that every single war that you go through and every single battle that you've applied these five principles, I guarantee you, you will not lose. You have got to win. You're going to come out on top with all the plunder. Now, for Jericho, what they did at Jericho is they marched around Jericho and they shouted the prophetic word at Jericho, the shofar, the sound of God's voice. They shouted that at Jericho. And those walls came down flat and they took the fragrance of life. How many want the fragrance of life? Don't you want the good smelling part of life? Man, that's what Jericho means, is the fragrance. Well, we need that. Then they went on to Ai. Now Ai, they had to have a three-way ambush. They had to hook up the spirit, soul, and body. They couldn't just fight it with the spirit, and they couldn't just fight it with the body, and they couldn't just fight it with the soul. You got to come at this one with a threefold attack. All parts of you have to be involved in that one. And it will come down. You will plunder it, and you will take all the good of that land. Then there's also the five kings. You've got to have covenantal relationships. If you don't have covenantal relationships, the storms of life are going to blow you over. But if you're hooked up and linked up and rooted up together, nothing's going to take you out. You're eternal. 3,000 years is a long time, right? No matter what storm or wind or comes against you, you can have victory over that thing. God will stop the sun and the moon for you. And when you're going through a battle and it seems like it's never going to end, just realize this principle. What God is doing is providing me time to really win this one. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God wants you to have total victory over that. He will stop the sun and the moon for you. And then hamstring the horse. What is it in your life that God has that's going to overpower you if you don't hamstring it? If you don't set it on fire? What is it? Hamstring it. If you will, you cannot lose. How many is ready for some great victories in your life? How many is ready to possess your kingdom and experience the plunder that God's got for you? Would you raise your hand, give the Lord a hand, clap and a shout? Shout unto the Lord. Amen. You can possess the kingdom. You can possess the kingdom. I want a life that I'm satisfied with.
I don't want a defeated life. I want a life that I'm proud of. I don't want a life that I'm ashamed of. And so many people are not satisfied. And so many people are not proud of their lives. I want you to know today, if you will do these things, God's going to give you victory and you're going to have a life that you can be absolutely proud of. There is victory for every believer, but you've got to force your way into the kingdom. Well, all right, we're going to pray. Just going to ask you to pray along with me today just to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even if you've done it 100 times. Let's go back to Gilgal. Amen? Let's renew our covenant again with Him. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Let's ask the Lord to be with us and fill us. And some of you may have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't know. You know. Never hurts to pray this again, though. Always just come to Him and just say, Lord, I want You to be my Lord and Savior, and I want to serve You, and I really want You to give me victory in my life. I want a life that matters. I want a life that's successful. So I ask everybody in here to pray with me every week. We just pray this prayer together. So pray after me. Lord Jesus, would You come into my life? Would You save my soul? Would You be my Lord and King? I confess with my mouth that You are Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. Now, if You did that,